Praise God. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 40 as we kick off this series tonight. I called it a wow moment. And I believe with all of the things that are taking place in our nation and world right now, the church has to have a wow moment. Amen. We have to be prepared because there's a battle that needs to be fought, and God wants to arm us and get us ready for battle. How many knows that he's already won? It's already done, okay? And if we're operating and moving out of the completed and finished work of Calvary, and if we're operating in the finished work of Calvary, we have to have revelation of his word to put his word to practice. Amen? How many know that the Satan doesn't know my words, but he knows God? Her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she had received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. They had quite a payment, and there's quite a payment for us too. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but we find the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he goes to verse 3 and says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Remember John the Baptist? He was coming and he was preparing the way of the Lord and preparing the way of Jesus. He said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert highway, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. Okay? I kind of think it's interesting, just as the prophet was speaking to the children of Israel, he recognized them that the children of Israel or Jerusalem was his bride, and we're the bride of Christ. He always recognizes them as her, she, okay, when they're speaking to them. We talked about that the other week about being the bride of Christ. But the first thing the Lord is bringing in this weapons of warfare, he said in our text tonight that her warfare is accomplished, okay? I want you to understand when Jesus said it was finished, it was done, amen? We're operating out of something that's already been accomplished and already been done, amen? So when we're looking at this, the first thing that God wants to do and with our weapons of warfare is he wants to bring restoration, the restoration, the restoration. When I was thinking about restoration, and I would say, Lord, what are some of the things that the body of Christ or children of God could stand to get restored in their life? And the first thing he said is to restore happiness. How many know that the adversary wants to steal your happiness? And I love how the psalmist pins this in Psalms 51, verse number 12. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now recognize that happiness is the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is the fruit of the spirit, but it comes with our salvation. Amen? So with that also, that's behind us. It's when we gave our heart to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Lord was reminding me what happens so many times with the adversary and with the body of Christ, they lose their happiness and joy because they let the adversary rob them because of circumstances. Remember, a circumstance is the circle you're standing in. Amen? So sometimes we've got to step out of that circle to overcome that circumstance. The Apostle Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians 3, 17. He said, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Amen? For who the Son has made free is free indeed. So God wants you to understand that your circumstance or the circle church you're standing in isn't what determines your happiness. Your happiness comes from the Lord. So what is the adversary first trying to do? What God wants to restore? He wants to restore the joy. He wants to restore happiness. Now, one of the things that steals our joy is sometimes what steals our joy is our health. How many know it's kind of hard being happy if you're sick? Hello? I mean, just let's be real. Amen? So he says he not only wants to restore our happiness, but he wants to restore our health. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah 30. Verse 17, he says, for I will restore health unto thee. What is he restoring? He's restoring our happiness. How is he restoring our happiness? Because he's restoring our health. And I will heal thee of thy wounds. The greatest affliction and wounds in the body of Christ are done by words, not by physical. And God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. The prophet Jeremiah said, I will heal thee thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, who no man seeketh after, because they were a child of God. God wants you to understand in this time of restoration, I believe signs and wonders and miracles are going to take place. I believe we're going to have some wild movements of God. I believe this community up here, you know, something the Lord was telling me today, it's kind of interesting. I want to share this with you. We've been going up and praying over the community every Sunday night. And when the Lord called me into ministry and called me the greatest for the ministry, he said that he was going to send me to the hood. Okay, now, to me, the hood was with the brothers, the crack houses, down in the hood. But God doesn't speak like they speak, okay? God said he was going to send me to the neighborhood. That the neighborhood belonged to him. Amen? Amen? So he says in this restoration, he's going to restore our happiness. He's going to restore our happiness by restoring our health. He's going to restore our health by bringing us, restoring the harvest. And what he's speaking about is, the harvest he's speaking about is the things that the enemy has stolen from you. They had double penalty, the children of Israel. They went into captivity in Babylon. They were tortured, okay? They went through a hard time. And many have been going through a hard time. And he took me to Joel chapter 2. Joel 2. Hey, buddy, I like that best. I have one just like it I run with. Joel chapter 2, verse number 23. The word of God says this. He says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he have given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil." Now, he's talking about the wine and oil and the vats. The vats are the vessels, and we're the vessels, and the wine and oil is the Holy Ghost. And God has gifted men and women in this place, and their gifts are not active, and God's going to stir up the gifts that are in each and every one of us, and they're going to be activated like that wine and that oil of the Holy Ghost, and they're going to start ministering and reaching. Amen? That you have something that no one else has or no one else, everyone else needs. Not that everybody else doesn't have it, because a lot of us have the same gifts. But he says that I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. So when I was looking at that, what the Lord was saying to me, and this time of restoration, and this with this weapons of warfare, as we're battling the adversary with the weapons of warfare, God's going to restore happiness. God's going to restore health. God's going to restore the harvest. God's going to give back everything that the enemy has stolen. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. You want me to wear it? Took back what he stole from me. I better get that off. Mess up all this hair. We're going to the hood together, everybody. Give me five. Give me a fist bump. So what is he saying? He's saying this, well, when we're putting the weapons of our warfare to work and operating, which we're going to see. You're going to see some mighty things. You know, I was looking for 2021. Come on. I was looking at 2021. The Lord's been showing me things about 2021. And this afternoon he says, son, it's 2020 and I'm not done. Hello? He's telling me, don't look to next year. I ain't done with this year yet. I'm showing you some things next year, but don't get in there yet. Yeah, I got things I haven't finished here yet. There's things that have to be accomplished in this year before we step into the new year. Amen. So he said to me, he said, not only the he's going to restore our happiness, our health, and the harvest, then he's got the removal. He's going to remove some things. Can I say something to everyone in the room? God is getting ready to move in such a way, sin will not be comfortable in his house. Hello? Amen? You're going to witness people running to the altar, okay? God said he's going to do it. I can't do it. You can't do it, but he can. Amen? He's the convictor of the convict. I was the convict, and he was the convictor. Okay, I'll just let that go. That was corny. The first he wants to do is he wants to remove sins. And in Psalms 103, this is a prep for the direction the Lord's leading to close out 2020. All right? That we're going to put our weapons of warfare to practice and minister. He says in verse number 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. So the first thing he's removing is sin. And Let me say something to you. Everyone in the room sins. There's not a person in this room, including your pastor, that doesn't sin. But God's talking about purposely sinning. There's one thing to purposely go and do something that you know is wrong. And there's another thing if I slip up or I get tempted and I fall into temptation and I flub up and I repent and ask the Lord to forgive me. So he's saying that he's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, not to be remembered again. So what he is saying, he's bringing restoration to our happiness, to our health, bringing us a harvest by removing sin. What causes sickness? Sin. God didn't put sickness on anyone. So when I was looking at that, so if he's removing sin, we're going to deal with some strongholds. We're going to remove some strongholds. And he took me to Matthew 21 with Jesus. Verse number 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do which is done to the fig tree. He cursed the fig tree. When it came back, it was dead because it wasn't bearing fruit, right? But also if thou shalt say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So when he's removing the sin, he gives us power to take authority over the strongholds. Then he was speaking to me about how he was going to shake things off. And, you know, I've been speaking about that the past couple weeks. And what he was speaking to my heart about in the shaking things off is there's been so many things that we do in the body of Christ that we do just because we've been doing it that way for 50 years. And God never wanted it to begin with. Man created it and started doing it, and it became traditions. And I believe one of the biggest strongholds the Father's going to break in these last days is traditions. We're going to be doing things to please him and not others. Not that we don't love one another. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to do things just to hurt anybody. But the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, verse number 27. He said in this word, yet once more, I'm talking about the shaking, things that can be shaken. That man-made things would be shaken off, okay? Not God-made things. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of the things that are made, made by man, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Amen? Everything that aligns with his word will remain. God loves his word. He spoke his word for you and I. So what is he saying? He's going to bring restoration, to restore happiness, to restore health, to restore the harvest of what's been stolen from you, that there's going to be removal of sin, of strongholds, of those things that can be shaken. Then he speaks also in the text about the reward. The reward. The reward to, first, the seeker. We use this scripture a lot. If everybody knows me, I'm a faith preacher, right? Everybody knows I'm a faith preacher. And, matter of fact, if you look at the marquee outside, it's the message, the title of this message, the message for Sunday is Fostering Faith. All right? But sometimes we read this, but what is he saying in Hebrews 11:6? we're looking at being rewarded for the seeker. He said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that do what? Diligently seek him. Now, when you hear that word diligence, what comes to your mind? You're thinking about the word diligence. What comes to your mind? Anybody? Intentional? Purposely?
Always?
Being steadfast? You know, we're diligent at what we do. Amen? So he says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for they that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder, the rewarder to them that what? If you're not diligently seeking him, are you to expect a reward? What reward are we talking about? Our happiness, our health, our harvest. God says, if we will diligently seek her. So the seeker, then he also talks about the server. The server. In Colossians chapter 3. Is this okay? Y'all with me? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God. Hey, you know, God's preparing us, and he's preparing us for what's coming. Amen. We're going to be armed and dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And we're going to be like doves to the body of Christ. We're not going to hurt anyone. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 23. He said, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he have done, and there is no respect of persons. The word of God declares that God is not mocked, for whatsoever we sow, we reap. So we're looking at, we're seeking him diligently. We're serving the Lord with our hearts. And then we have the sealer. What does a sealer do? Anybody familiar with a sealer? Let's say if you were finishing a product and you put sealer on it, what does the sealer do? It binds it, closes in the gaps. The sealer will waterproof it. Okay, so we're looking at the sealer. The sealer is the Holy Spirit. Let's get this wrong. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, but we're talking about having diligence. And Hebrews 2, verse number 1, the Word of God says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Amen. So what is he saying? He said he's going to bring restoration to restore happiness, our health, our harvest. He says that he's going to remove the sin, the strongholds, and the things that can be shaken. He's going to reward the seeker and the server because they know that they're sealed by the seal of promise of God. Then he puts us in the place, the receiver, or to receive. And Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. He said, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. So the Lord says, like just as the prophet Isaiah was prophesying, he was speaking forth of the time that we're in now. God says that he's given us our weapons. The weapons of our warfare have been accomplished. Amen. That he has given us his word and his spirit and each other so that we can fight the good fight of faith. We can lay hold of eternal life where we're called to profess a good testimony before many witnesses. So we're looking at this. The Lord is saying, just as Isaiah was prophesying and was speaking forth, God's speaking his word forth to you tonight to recognize and to understand that he called you and appointed you for a time such as now. We serve a now God, and he's up to now, okay? And he's doing things in the now. And God says, as we take this word and we apply this word and we digest this word, and the weeks to come as we start practicing the weapons of warfare, God wants us to understand that it's already been done. We're going to just take things that already belong to us. They already belong to us anyway, but they got stolen. What's been stolen? Our happiness, our health, and the abundance of harvest. I want to share a testimony with y'all before I close. My brother, yesterday they had sowed seeds to 501c nonprofits. It was a giving day on Facebook where you would give to nonprofits. And they did a thing for his food ministry for Passion Compassion. And they had a prayer meeting yesterday morning. And the prophetic word came forth that in this thing, there was a hundredfold that was coming forth in this today, in this giving. So my brother gets off and he goes and calls his son, because his son handles the advertising and everything, and said, what do we got so far? And Kyle said, we have $5, and I put that in. We don't have any other money. Well, then he said, well, God said there's a hundredfold coming in. And later, about an hour or so later, he got a telephone call from a young man that he sowed seed into years ago that started a business that his ministry had sowed seed in. And he said, the Lord told us to give you 100-fold back. So my brother had sowed a $500 seed, so he got $50,000 yesterday, and the 100-fold seed, all right? God is transferring things, and he's moving things to usher in his return. God said he's already... I guess for the children of God, God says, let's not grow weary in well-doing. We're going to reap if we don't faint or give up. Hallelujah. Amen. God has a plan for everything. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word tonight to restore some things, that you're speaking to your children about restoring their happiness and their health and bringing the harvest to their homes, Father God, and that you're removing the sin and the strongholds and things that can be shaken, Father God. And you're rewarding the seeker, Father God, the server, Lord Jesus, and that they've been sealed with the spirit of promise. So, Father God, we receive tonight every word that was spoken. Father, as you said to Sunday, Father God, unless we receive it, it will not accomplish anything. So, Father God, may the vessels be open and receptive to receive the word that was spoken to them tonight. And may they fly in their hearts and lives, and may they run and not grow weary. May they walk and not faint, because their hope and trust is in you. And we'll never cease to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.